This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and what a great day it is. There's actually another diplomatic triumph for the United States. I was about to say for the Trump administration, and the Trump administration deserves credit, but it's really a triumph for the United States and the whole world, with a struggling nation now joining the ranks of those Arab states, those Islamic states that are making peace finally with the nation of Israel and recognizing Israel, announced in the White House today. We will get to that. We'll talk about what that means and what that has to do with the unexpected Iranian attempts to influence the American election. The FBI has been warning us particularly about Russian intervention, but John Ratcliffe, the Director of National Intelligence, and others have been talking about Iranian intervention. We'll talk about what that means and what the threat actually constitutes with Michael Rubin of American Enterprise Institute, who is just back and out of quarantine from the Middle East. We'll be speaking with him later this hour. We'll also be talking about the dueling health care plans, which were on offer last night. Well, actually, there hasn't, unfortunately, been much of a health care plan from President Trump yet, and something of a scary health care plan from Vice President Biden. We will get to that with Dr. Roger Stark, who has better ideas, conservative ideas, on how we can and ultimately must reform our healthcare system. That also coming up on the Medved Show. And big stories from the world of movies. The great Borat versus Rudy controversy. And I can now review the entire movie Borat, which is coming out with a great big explosion. It's sponsored by one of President Trump's very favorite companies, Amazon. Yeah, that's Amazon as in linked to the Washington Post, as in which owns the Washington Post, as is linked to Jeff Bezos, who is near the top of President Trump's refuse list already. And that's refuse as in refuse. And why did Rudy Giuliani agree to this interview? How embarrassing is it? And was it, in fact, deceptively edited? We will get to all of that on the Medved Show. And also tell you about a big new offering for kids from two veteran Disney animators, though it's not a Disney production. It's a co-Chinese production. And it's kind of, in some regards, amazing. We'll talk about that. And the big new Netflix remake of Rebecca, which was a classic novel from the 30s, the Oscar-winning Best Picture in 1940, now a lavish new version with Lily James and Armie Hammer. We will be talking about that on the Medved Show. First up, the debate. Who won the debate? That's what everybody asks. And frankly, America won because it was a better debate. I mean, much, much better debate. And both candidates were vastly improved. And President Trump in particular is getting mostly glowing reviews, even from some skeptics. I mean, people bring up the fact that a lot of the stuff that he said was just flatly untrue. That was also true for Joe Biden. But, yeah, there are lots of busy fact checkers out there, busy as beavers. However, the basic change between the Trump we met at the first debate, who was frankly insufferable. I mean, it's difficult to watch. And I think put off a lot of people at the prospect of having such a human being as our president for the next 4 years. This was not nearly like that. I mean, people who despise President Trump will probably go on despising him for the most part. But for people who are undecided and were looking for an excuse or a reason or some kind of means to come to terms with four more years of Donald Trump as president, the debate performance probably helped them last night. Now, doesn't mean that he, quote, won the debate. They were arguing about a number of points. In one sense, Trump certainly won. I agree with the general summation that Joe Biden's worst moment in the debate came toward the very end when he acknowledged that he has a plan, and it's all over his website. It's not something he's kept a secret. He has a plan to transitioning out of dependence on fossil fuel, which means the end of the oil industry. Now, he's talking about doing that long term. I mean, and sometimes he talks about doing it by 2050 and sometimes 2035. Whatever it means, if you work in the oil industry, and there are a lot of people in very crucial swing states who do, you've got to be spooked. And President Trump was alert enough when Vice President Biden made that statement late in the debate to point out, say, but you heard it, and this is going to count against you, and you're going to... Okay, we will see whether that swings the electorate or not. And Vice President Biden, I do want to say that while Trump was did part of what he had to do, which is to show the American people that he can be more controlled, that he can be more like a normal politician, this was not an epic performance noted for its eloquence or dignity or anything of that nature. But it showed a far more viable Trump than what you had in the first debate, which was universally judged to be a disaster for the president. This at least will, I think the term that Chuck Todd used was it stopped the bleeding. And I think that's certainly true. The for Biden, the big accomplishment here was I think Joe Biden successfully put Sleepy Joe to bed. He was not sleepy at all. He was alert. He was present. He was attentive. He was at times actually quick and effective. Is Joe Biden a seasoned performer? He should be seasoned because he's been around for so long. He's not one of the great performers of all time, but he was vastly better than in the first debate, where it seemed like Trump's constant interruptions indeed rattled him, and he said things like, shut up, to the President of the United States. There was none of that this time, and in fact, during the brief discussion, it was relatively brief about the whole Hunter Biden issue, President Trump was relatively restrained, and Joe Biden just seemed to laugh above it. He didn't laugh the way he did when he debated Paul Ryan in 2012 for the vice presidential debate. But he did, I think, very effectively put President Trump off by smiling. In any event, the Democratic contention that there is some kind of cognitive decline there, the president has said that Biden doesn't even know he's alive, that's not viable. That's no longer viable. In terms of who won the debate, well, it averaged 55 million viewers across the six biggest broadcast and cable channels on American television. For comparison's sake, 62 million watched the first Trump-Biden debate on those same six channels, which means the second and final debate of the season was down just about 11% from the first. I think the reason for that is so many people found it a monumentally unpleasant experience to sit through that first debate. Props to Kristen Welker. She did a terrific job. The only polling on the debate that I've seen, public opinion polling, was on CNN, which showed that 39% of a representative sample of Americans thought Trump had won the debate. 53% thought that Biden had won the debate. That's pretty close, not exactly. That's slightly more pro-Biden than the preferences in the most recent polling. We'll get to those preferences. We'll also get to President Trump's triumph diplomatically this morning, coming right up with Sudan. which is a troubled nation that suddenly wants to make peace and reject terror. That's a great thing. We'll be right back on the MedVet Show.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to acsh.org today.
This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Rovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Michael Medved Show, we have an October full of surprises, not just one October surprise, certainly a surprise that counts as a plus for President Trump. And frankly, Joe Biden has even acknowledged that the deals that President Trump has been making on the Middle East that he deserves some credit for it. But he generally is critical of the president's foreign policies. I think it actually would help Vice President Biden if he was generous about this and recognized that this entire thrust of policy has been a great success for the president, and that if he's elected, that he, Biden, would follow the same course, because it's obviously a course that's beneficial for the United States. President Trump, according to the AP story, today announced that Sudan will start to normalize ties with Israel, making it the third Arab state to do so as part of a U.S. brokered series of deals in the run-up to Election Day. Now, of course, that story links this whole procedure directly to the election, as if it's just a political stunt. It is much more than that. It's deeply significant, particularly for the suffering people of Sudan. Sudan has been through hell. Sudan used to be hell. They have a transitional government that has been staggering and difficult. They used to be governed by one of the worst and bloodiest genocidal tyrants in the world, Omar al-Bashir. And he's gone. There is a better government that clearly wants to join the community of nations and join the 21st century, or actually maybe in their case during the 18th century. But look, it's certainly a country that is doing better now and will do much better because of this deal. The deal, which would deepen Sudan's engagement with the West, that's the most important thing, follows Trump's conditional agreement this week to remove the North African nation from the list of state sponsors of terrorism if it pays compensation to American victims of terror attacks. The Sudanese have agreed to do that. It's going to cost them $385 million. And the terror attacks that they are compensating for are the terror attacks against the East African embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, which was part of the lead-up to 9/11, you may remember. Those occurred at a time that Osama bin Laden was living in Sudan, actually. And that's why they are held at least partially responsible. The deal also delivers a foreign policy achievement for Trump just days before the U.S. election, 12 days, and boosts his embattled ally, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who is facing his criminal trial coming up. Recently, the United States brokered diplomatic pacts between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. Jordan recognized Israel in the 1990s, and we might add here, Israel was recognized by Egypt, the largest Arab nation in the world. They were recognized by Egypt back in 1979 as part of the Camp David Accords that were negotiated by Jimmy Carter. It is a new world, Prime Minister Netanyahu said over the phone. We are cooperating with everyone, building a better future for all of us. Netanyahu has made it a priority to forge ties with formerly hostile countries in Africa and the Arab world in the absence of any progress with the Palestinians. During his more than a decade in office, the deal also is aimed at unifying Arab countries against their common adversary, Iran. Here is President Trump this morning, this is clip 34, talking about the new peace deal. He's on the phone with Prime Minister Netanyahu in the Oval Office, surrounded by Secretary Pompeo, Jared Kushner, who helped to negotiate this, Stephen Mnuchin, who had some role in negotiating it. Here's President Trump.
We're doing them one by one. We did Sudan. They wanted to do a deal. And that was in particular nice because they've essentially been at war with Israel for a long time. I don't know if it was fighting. I don't know that. But probably there's been a little bit. But certainly it's been for many years you've been officially at war with Sudan. And now it's not only the deal was signed, but it's peace. So that's official. And that's nice.
Okay, and actually there was an official state of war. There's never been any participation of Sudanese troops. They're not exactly a military power against Israel. But when you have all of these Arab states that had formerly been boycotting Israel now looking forward to economic progress together with Israel, it's just an unquestionably positive thing. Netanyahu has made it a priority to forge ties with formerly hostile countries. Good, right? These recent recognitions of Israel have undermined the traditional Arab consensus that there can be no normalization with Israel before the establishment of an independent Palestinian state. The reason they have not established an independent Palestinian state is the Palestinian leadership for a decade has refused to even sit down and negotiate it. And even when Prime Minister Netanyahu had agreed to a ban or a cessation or a pause in so-called settlements, they still wouldn't sit down and negotiate. And maybe with a few more Arab states successfully negotiating mutual recognition, there can be some Palestinian willingness to, well, welcome a deal. The deal with Sudan will include aid and investment, which is crucial, from Israel, particularly in technology and agriculture, which, by the way, are the two fields in which Israel is most economically successful. There will also be further debt relief. It comes as Sudan and its transitional government teeter on the edge. Thousands have protested in the country's capital, Khartoum, and other regions in recent days over dire economic conditions. This is designed to help give Sudan some economic relief and a new window of opportunity on its path to democracy. Of course, President Trump couldn't resist a directly political question on the phone with Prime Minister Netanyahu, and the Prime Minister didn't take the bait. This is clip 35, Jeremy.
Do you think Sleepy Joe could have made this deal, baby? Sleepy Joe. I think, do you think he would have made this deal somehow? I don't think so.
Well, Mr. President, one thing I can tell you is we appreciate the help for peace from anyone in America, and we appreciate what you've done enormously.
Yeah.
Can you call up any idea of what this means to Iran, the pressure?
Pivot of history. And this will be registered in the books, history books. History registers who did what.
Okay. That's the right answer, of course. Now, why didn't Bibi's a friend of President Trump's? Why didn't he say something nasty about Sleepy Joe? Because Bibi's no idiot. Sleepy Joe, who isn't sleepy anymore, he seems to have woken up last night. Vice President Biden could well be president. And it has been a cornerstone of Israeli foreign policy to recognize how important it is to have bipartisan support in the United States. Speaking of bipartisan support in the United States, what is Iran doing in our country trying to sow more bitter divisions? We'll get to that and more with former Pentagon official AEI scholar Michael Rubin coming up.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Israel and Sudan agreed to normalize ties in a U.S.-brokered deal, ending decades of hostility as one of Africa's largest countries joins a broader diplomatic realignment in the Middle East. President Trump reacts to the news.
We're doing them one by one. We did Sudan. They wanted to do a deal, and that was in particular nice because they've essentially been at war with Israel for a long time. I don't know if it was fighting. I don't know that, but Probably there's been a little bit, but certainly it's been for many years you've been officially at war with Sudan, and now it's not only the deal was signed, but it's peace.
Colorado Governor Jared Polis is meeting today with some of the evacuees from the state's wildfires. High winds have caused the fires to spread quickly. The East Troublesome Fire has consumed over 170,000 acres as of Friday morning. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Medved Show, Michael Rubin, a welcomed and valued guest on this show, is a resident scholar at American Enterprise Institute, where he specializes in Iran, Turkey, and the broader Middle East. He also regularly teaches classes at sea about Middle Eastern conflicts, culture, terrorism, and the Horn of Africa to deployed U.S. Navy and Marine units. A former Pentagon official, Dr. Rubin, has lived in post-revolutionary Iran and live to tell the tale, and back here safely in the United States. He's also lived in Yemen and worked in Yemen and both pre- and post-war Iraq, and spent some time with the Taliban, which I'm sure were magical moments before September 11th. Michael, first of all, a quick response to the Sudan-Israel-USA deal that was announced today.
You know, it's great news. It's absolutely great news, and it kind of shows that there is a new momentum in the Middle East, and after years of various Arab states, number one, thinking that rejectionism worked, support of terrorist groups worked, and number two, that after years of allowing the Palestinians to have a de facto veto over the development of the region, that era has ended, and it seems peace is breaking out in ways we never expected.
Do you think that this deal can help to stabilize a shaky situation in Sudan and maybe lead that country, if not to prosperity, at least to doing a little bit better in a struggling economy?
Well, absolutely it can. And the Sudanese are being very pragmatic here. After they had, in a popular uprising, kicked out the former military leader and president, Omar al-Bashir, who many people know because of the genocide in Darfur more than a decade ago, the new government has been struggling simply to rejoin the community of nations. Sudan has suffered under sanctions for years. It's suffered under a corrupt dictatorship for years. And so the new leaders have calculated that a turn to the West is in their interest. And I would just hope that the Trump administration or a future Biden administration would recognize that supporting the development and the economic stabilization of Sudan is an interest not just because of Sudan, but it also shows a pathway for other states which might want to come out of the cold.
Okay, speaking about Iran, I know you just got back from the Middle East. And we've talked about this before. The Iranians may be crazy, but they're not entirely stupid. Did they really... do you think that they could influence the U.S. election by putting out these phony emails in the name of Proud Boys threatening people to vote for President Trump? Is that, does
you know,
that
it sounds
ring right to you?
Perfectly plausible. The Iranians, the North Koreans, and the Russians are all very sophisticated when it comes to this sort of cyber operation. Frankly, there's a lot of cross-pollination that goes on as well, since those states often cooperate with each other. But this is the type of thing which the Iranians would often do, and at the same time, of course, they would try to maintain their plausible deniability. That's the whole purpose of cyber operations. When you bomb a site with an airplane, it's hard to deny that you've done it. When you engage in a covert cyber operation to sort of undercut an adversary or play the long game politically in your favor, that's something which they're willing to do. There's very little cost to them in that.
What do you think the thinking was here, that people would react so badly to being threatened in order to vote for President Trump that they would actually end up reacting by being more likely to vote against President Trump? What's the deal?
Well, ultimately, I think that likely would be the deal, that if you do it in this sort of way, the Iranians are very sophisticated. You've got a huge Iranian Shiite community that lives not just in Los Angeles, but also in Detroit, and an Iraqi Shiite community up there, which is very savvy about American politics. They're not amateurs at this, and they would recognize that in the polarized, polemical atmosphere which we have, this sort of revelation could actually help the candidate which, in their view, Iran would benefit most by.
Okay. President Trump has hinted that in a second term, potentially, he could see the possibility of working out some kind of new nuclear deal with Iran. What do you think the chances are?
Well, I think the chances are higher once, of course, the election is behind us. Look, the biggest difference between Trump and Biden from the Iranian standpoint is Trump supports maximum pressure, Biden supports sanction relief. The question within the Trump administration is, what is the aim of maximum pressure? Some factions, for example, that led by Brian Hook or Elliot Abrams or Donald or Mike Pompeo, want to bring about regime change. Donald Trump, however, seems to want to genuinely negotiate. The problem is, when I talk to both Iranians or when I was just in Iraq, for example, people who are much more associated with the Iranian line of thinking, they're suspicious because they believe that when Donald Trump says he wants negotiations, what he really wants is just a photo op, and they don't want to inadvertently help his reelection campaign. And so the Iranians are waiting to see. They would hope that they could get sanctions relief, but if it looks like there's four more years of maximum pressure and they don't believe that they can last that long, then in all likelihood they would go to the table. What Biden is going to have to deal with, however, is it's easy for progressives or for Democrats or for those who believed in the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the 2015 nuclear deal, to say we should just rejoin this. Trump should never have left it. But because the nuclear deal had sunset clauses attached to it in which certain sanctions, basically expired, the Iranians aren't going to go back to where they were 3 years ago. Rather, they're going to say, hey, look, this deal's expiring. Why should we rejoin it? And they're going to ask for a whole new lot of concessions.
And in terms of the Iranian reaction to the strengthening alignment around Saudi Arabia and, yes, Israel against them, Do they see that as a significant deterioration of their position?
Well, the Iranians, the Revolutionary Guard has perhaps a circle of sycophancy in which they would believe that, in which some of their most hardcore members would believe their own rhetoric. There are some more reformist elements who would argue, you know, we're definitely not going to normalize or recognize with Israel, and certainly that's something that is common among both the hardline factions and the reformist factions in Iran, but they would argue that perhaps Iranian aggression is causing a backlash. I mean, there's a parallel to this in those in China who say that if we act too aggressive, we're going to force countries in Southeast Asia into the arms of the Americans because they're scared of us. Some of the hardliners aren't going to accept that and say, hey, look, we're consolidating control in Yemen, in Syria, in Lebanon. And, you know, when Secretary Pompeo threatens to close the American embassy in Baghdad, America's largest and most expensive embassy, that just shows that we, the Iranians, are on the verge of victory. And therefore, depending on which evidence they choose to cite, the Iranians can draw opposite conclusions.
Michael Rubin, appreciate your good work. If you had to guess which nation, Muslim nation, do you think is next to normalize relations with Israel?
I would say Oman, Saudi Arabia, Morocco.
Those would be three very important ones. Michael Rubin, appreciate your wisdom always. And I hope you have a great weekend and survive the remaining days of this electoral struggle in good health and good spirits. When we come back, I want to look back at last night's debate and what may have been one of the most revealing moments about this campaign, though it didn't get a lot of attention. We'll play you the moment I'm talking about, and you can give your response at 1-800-955-1776. We'll be right back.
Your outlet for outrage.
I'm not going to take this anymore.
The Michael Medved Show.
Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com. They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there, because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kenger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com. Okay, I will admit it. I love good movies, especially now when you're holed up at home. Don't some of you with families want to introduce your kids to some of the movies that meant the most to you? Wouldn't it be great to have a service that actually allows you to block out maybe some language you don't want to hear or some intensely graphic sex or violent scenes? Well, that service is called ClearPlay. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, ClearPlay settings enable you to watch the movie without violence, profanity, or other content that you choose. Customization is all based on viewers' personal settings. Go to ClearPlay.com to learn more. Try, for instance, that great baseball movie and father and son movie, Field of Dreams, with just some of the unnecessary harsh language. Go to ClearPlay.com to learn more. ClearPlay loves good movies.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, Please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
The Michael Medved show, the idea that at least 55.2 million viewers across the six biggest broadcast and cable channels watched the debate last night. Yes, that was down significantly. It was down, in fact, about 8 million, 7 million below those who had watched the first debate, which was also not the highest ever by any means. Now, one of the reasons for that is there are more and more people who are watching by streaming, who are not watching on cable or broadcast channels. I watched by streaming. And maybe you did too. But the Washington Post has a series of columnists who scored the debate. And the columnists, of course, there are 10 of them. And they voted and they gave ratings from 0 to 10. Trump got an average rating, which is high, of 58.5. Biden got an average rating of 68.5, which reflects the same kind of reaction that the general public appears to have had, at least according to a CNN poll. Now, let's acknowledge, Washington Post and CNN both are not in the Trump camp, to put it mildly. Let's go quickly to David in Seattle. You're on the Medved Show.
Hey, Michael, with all the success Trump is having in the Middle East and as well as the federal judges and justices, I guess I'm wondering, why did you endorse Joe Biden last week?
I put it because there was a voter's guide and I wanted to be honest about how I'm voting. And again, I think this campaign is still very much happening. And it's still, for anyone to deny when President Trump is successful is wrong and dishonest, and I'm not going to do that. But I'll tell you why I'm voting for Biden, basically, is I don't think this country will do well with four more years such as what we have. And the last 4 years have been difficult for the country. And despite some triumphs, and there are real triumphs in the Middle East, despite these solid appointments for judges and my very strong support for virtually every judge that President Trump has supported, there's also a sense of the state of the nation and the polarization and the division and the anger. And this gets me right to what I wanted to play for people, which is, I think, the most revealing moment in the debate came at the very end, the last question from the excellent moderator, whose name is Kristen Welker. And Kristen Welker from NBC asked a question. She asked both candidates, what would you say on Inauguration Day in your inaugural address to voters who didn't support you? Here's the way President Trump answered that question.
What will you say in your address to Americans who did not vote for you? You'll each have 1 minute, starting with you, Mr.
We have to make our country totally successful as it was prior to the plague coming in from China. Now we're rebuilding it and we're doing record numbers, 11.4 million jobs in a short period of time, etc. But I will tell you, go back. Before the plague came in, just before, I was getting calls from people that were not normally people that would call me. They wanted to get together. We had the best black unemployment numbers in the history of our country. Hispanic, women, Asian, people with diplomas, with no diplomas, MIT graduates, number one in the class. Everybody had the best numbers. And you know what? The other side wanted to get together. They wanted to unify. Success is going to bring us together. We are on the road to success. But I'm cutting taxes, and he wants to raise everybody's taxes, and he wants to put new regulations on everything. He will kill it. If he gets in, you will have a depression, the likes of which you've never seen. Your 401ks will go to hell, and it'll be a very, very sad day for this country.
Okay, you'll notice no attempt to answer the question. Not even a vague attempt to answer the question. And now, Joe Biden's answer wasn't brilliant or scintillating or inspiring. But at least there's an agenda that we know about that the American people would select for the next term rather than just more of the same. Here's Joe Biden's answer.
I will say, I'm an American president. I represent all of you, whether you voted for me or against me. And I'm going to make sure that you're represented. I'm going to give you hope. We're going to move. We're going to choose science over fiction. We're going to choose hope over fear. We're going to choose to move forward because we have enormous opportunities to make things better. We can grow this economy. We can deal with the systemic racism. And at the same time, we can make sure that our economy is being run and moved and motivated by clean energy, creating millions of new jobs. And that's the fact. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to say, as I said at the beginning, what is on the ballot here is the character of this country. Decency, honor, respect, treating people with dignity, making sure that everyone has an even chance. And I'm going to make sure you get that. You haven't been getting it the last 4 years.
Okay, those are their 2 1-minute summations. Neither great, I agree. But what's striking to me is there is no Republican platform. It's very late in the day. If Trump could come up with 3 new policies that he intends to follow, rather than trying to, quote, bring us back to before the plague hit us, and giving some kind of agenda. One of the great things about President Reagan is he laid out very clearly, this is what I'm going to do. And then he proceeded to do it. And for a second term, you need to do that, too. It's, again, particularly when two-thirds of the country, and actually more than two-thirds of the country, think we're in the wrong track and don't like the continuing struggles that we're going through about something as basic as life and death and facing a disease that does not appear to be rounding the bend, and where people do say it's getting more serious, that's problematic. Does President Trump have a chance at one of his big rallies coming up, or at each of his big rallies coming up, talking about some kind of inspiring vision for the second term, some kind of change that the American people want? He needs to. Last time he was running as a change agent, and he's still trying to grab that mantle of a Washington outsider. He attacked Biden, I think, effectively last night as a standard issue politician. But if President Trump is going to maintain that idea that I'm a disruptor, that I am going to change things, there remains that question, how, okay, are things going to change from what we've just had the last 4 years? And there's very little prospect. He said last night he thought that the Republicans who were going to win the House of Representatives, it's virtually impossible because of all the Republican retirements and because of reading the numbers. Last time, Republicans lost 41 seats. They won't lose that many this time, and Republicans may, and I pray that they do, hold on to the Senate. There's a powerful column today about how if Joe Biden does win the presidency, which is possible, it's not baked in, but if Biden wins the presidency, he basically would benefit enormously from Republicans keeping the Senate, because then the pressure to push him over from his moderate inclinations, which everyone assumes to be there, toward the left will be tamped down. He would just say, well, wait a minute, I got to deal with Mitch McConnell here, so we've got to put something that is more in the middle. And by the way, that's something else. Wouldn't it be terrific for the country? And yes, for the Trump campaign. If somehow the president putting together deals with Sudan and Bahrain and UAE and Israel could put together some kind of meaningful deal with the Republicans in the Senate and Nancy Pelosi in the House to actually get through some coronavirus relief, which would help Americans and help Americans a lot. We'll play some other highlights, lowlights from the debate. Coming up, we'll also be talking a little bit about this health care issue. And what was it about that interview that was so enraging to President Trump with Leslie Stahl? Well, she was obnoxious. I agree with the president on that. But what's interesting is CBS is talking about that interview for 60 Minutes, which the world will see tomorrow night in its edited form. When you look at the unedited form, which is available, he did not storm out the president. That's a phony charge. That's phony news. He had given her 40 minutes of his time, and it was enough. And yes, he seemed to be a bit annoyed, but not impolite and not rude and not crazy. We will get to that and the great Borat Giuliani controversy and much more coming up in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.